This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We are debating the possibilities of the ETH, the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Where do UFOs come from? But I'm going to throw a bigger question in the final third of the show here. That's probably the most difficult to consider here. Talk is cheap. We can debate till the end of creation, as long as we are capable of debating anything, what UFOs really are. And we won't solve anything until there's a final answer. So, Thomas, since you began the debate in our forums about extraterrestrial UFOs, if we assume that a lot of what you say is correct and the theory is valid, how do we prove it?
Well, I think what we need is exactly the kind of thing that Chris is doing, but I'd love to see it on a much larger scale. And I think that Peter Davenport had an absolutely brilliant idea when he proposed the idea of a passive radar system that we could deploy in cities all around the country and eventually create a national network. That's something that we could do in the public, where we'd actually have the ability to see the data online in real time that people could contribute to, that could be attached to apps that are installed on people's cell phones, so they could be alerted if things were happening in their area, and they could use their cameras to collect data and all that kind of thing. I believe in scientific research. I think that's what's been missing for 70 years in ufology. I think that it's long overdue, and I'm thankful to God that Chris has got two projects to do it.
At least in the public domain, we don't know how involved governments have gotten in terms of actual hard data monitoring with gear. In the case of the San Luis Valley project, I'm very, very fortunate to sit in a valley, a very large valley, that's radar invisible below 18,000 feet. There is no radar. We're right in between three major control areas for the FAA, which indicates to me that there's a possibility we may be able to get an active radar scenario set up. What we have in mind, I've come up with an idea of slaving an actual pan tilt platform that will be sent coordinate data, just like the cameras are being sent coordinate data, and have this thing pointed at the event and possibly dampen down a 350 degree of a 360 degree sweep of a radar sweep, and have a window open for about 10 degrees. And because we're panning and tilting and slaving motion with the actual platform, we'll be able to shoot and paint an event, you know, I think fairly easily, and get a return from an active scenario as opposed to a passive one. And it'll be very difficult for anybody even trying to find the unit to find it, because we're dampening down the entire sweep with the exception of that about 8 to 10 degrees. So that's another idea, and I think I can pull it off in the valley because it's so remote, there is no competing signals. So
I love it.
Yeah. So you know, there are different ways to approach data gathering. Another area that I don't hear anybody ever talking about is ultrasonic monitoring, VLF and ULF, extremely low frequency waves. There is a subsonic component to the phenomenon, I'm convinced. I've actually, in one case, I think I actually felt it. It almost made me nauseous. So there's a good possibility that we're not even thinking, I think, in totality with the kinds of scientific information we may be able to actually gain. So if you've got acoustic data, you have radar returns, you have magnetic data, you have gravitational data, both digital and analog optical data. The analog optical data could be divided up into light spectra, so you'd be able to really zero in on, you know, how much energy is being expended and what kind of energy is being expended. This kind of data is going to be extremely difficult to debunk. And probably the best they could do, the skeptics in them, is just ignore it.
Yeah, but they won't, because there's enough people in the scientific community who would absolutely love to pour over that data. Absolutely. People would love to jump on board and analyze that to try to get some handle on it, looking for an explanation. Yeah. Because whoever comes up with the most convincing explanation is going to be, you know, widely revered as the person who solved the mystery. You know, that's a big, big crown to wear.
Right. Well, I think the whole idea that you brought up before about Peter Davenport and starting to, we could set up a way for people to do this in their own neighborhoods for not that much money. You know, you start having a component system that is spreading out and covering larger and larger and larger amounts of space. Invariably, we're going to be able to get some replicated data. The Valley, the San Luis Valley, has at times, almost predictable types of craft and flight lines, which, you know, goes into the whole scenario of actually being able to replicate your data, which would be almost virtually impossible to ignore by some miracle we were able to do that. You know, it would be very exciting. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the answer to Gene's question, it can be compartmentalized too. I mean, how do we prove it? Well, we have to define we. I mean, it may well be that the government agencies have already proved it. Mm-hmm. So the question then is, how do we as, armchair researchers, how do we prove it? And the other point that was made is that if you can find proof, they'll be all over. You look at the Cometa report, you had, the General Pierre Bescond, engineer for armaments. You had General Alain Orzag. He was an engineer in physics and armaments engineer. You had the Air Force, the French Air Force involved. There will be a lot of interest in this proof, and it'll come from people who want to exploit what they can find in order to make sure that their own little part of the world is best looked after.
I remember seeing documents from the 1940s that originated from operations at White Sands that were talking about deploying cinetheodolites to track unknown objects, and yep. And I think they had I read somewhere about jet interceptors that had gun cameras and other scientific equipment on board that they could send to a sighting area at the time it was happening to collect data. So I think the military has already done this work, and they've probably arrived at the conclusions that we're looking for. So it's hard to replicate some of those things, but fortunately, like Chris has pointed out, you can now buy, you know, $100,000 worth of technology, you know, from the 1960s for $15 and put it on a PC board. Off you go.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, literally. And another thing that I find very interesting in looking at my event log over a 10-12 year period is there's quite a number of reports that feature the Air Force arriving at about to the second how long it would take for them to get there from the front range and go hauling ass after these craft. And there definitely seems, in at least in my estimation, to be a real active response to many of these sighting events, especially in the area where I was investigating. I mean, there was a number of times that you could almost time them to that 7-minute window it would take to scramble a jet and get it over here. 7 to 8 minutes it would take with somebody on standby. And there were a number of times where it was almost comical. You know, we're saying, okay, they should be here any second now. Here comes an F-16 on full military power. You know, I do really have a sense that if the government has not already done this and the military has not already been tasked with this, they're idiots.
Yeah, I think they've been doing it for the last 70 years, and it's really frustrating because we've footed the bill for that, and I don't see what gives the military dominion over research into an anomalous phenomenon in the sky.
National security.
Well, I've had a similar experience with the local Air Force, the RAAF here in Australia. You call a bank's call center because you've got a problem with your account, and the person on the other end doesn't know a damn thing about their own systems, that they don't know what they're doing, they can't help you. I had a strange guy walk up to my wife on the street and say to her, "Your husband's seen them, hasn't he? He's seen the aliens." And after my experience, I actually contacted the RAAF, and they had a UFO desk, And I phoned this UFO desk, and you'd expect the person on the other end to be sort of not really know what was going on. Within a few minutes, he cut me off, and he filled me in on all the rest of the details. He knew who this guy was. He knew where this guy lived. He told me that they had actually been out with equipment to check into his claims, and had actually been down my street with equipment.
Well, just a minute. We'll get into more of this in our next segment. Mike Jones, Robert Brandstetter, Thomas Morrison, Jason, Gene, and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
The gruff Robert, as opposed to the calm and collected Robert. Mike, I'm getting interested in this. more and more as I hear you. Do you have more details?
Yeah, it was a very strange experience. My wife was out the front water in the front yard, and I was inside. And she came in and said, I just had a strange man walk up to me. And old Fred, he's now deceased, but old Fred was how he was known on the street. And she said, your husband's seen them, hasn't he? He's seen the aliens. And he then went on and had a lengthy talk to her about the end of our street terminates in the national parks, thousands and thousands of acres of bush and eucalypt forest. And he was telling her all about the alien base that was down the end of our street and how he'd been down there with friends, and the dogs would freak out and run away whenever they got close to this particular rock wall face where he said that the entrance to the base was at. And I actually sort of, I thought it was all a bit strange, so I phoned the RAAF because he swore the RAAF had been out. I thought, well, the first thing I can do is check, is he mad, or can I fact check his claim that he's had the RAAF out? So I phoned the RAAF and they said, yes, we've got a UFO desk, and they gave me the number, and I phoned the UFO desk, and far from being confused or vague about what was going on, this guy immediately knew exactly who I was and what I was talking about and who I was talking about and where I was talking about. And he confirmed his whole story, that the RAAF had sent a team out with radiation detectors and Geiger counters and all sorts of magnetic anomaly detectors, and had thoroughly researched his claims and concluded that there was no base there. But they did it. That they came out.
Well, that's at least having some official presence in UFO investigation.
Yes.
Allegedly, there's none in the USA.
Well, I think they just won't admit it. We have a much more secretive government, and that's saying a lot because the British don't have an exactly open government either, but ours seems to be singularly invested in secrecy on all kinds of things, and certainly anything as compelling and interesting to the public as this.
Do you feel then that there is something to disclose, that if you force disclosure on the part of the U.S. authorities, they'd have something there that would be significant when it comes to UFOs?
They'd probably have vaults full of empirical data collected from scientific experiments aboard craft and from their bases and all kinds of things, yeah. And they'd probably have papers concluding that these things were devices that are highly advanced from an unknown civilization that was not terrestrial.
Well, do you think that if we have this access that we've reverse-engineered any of their technology?
Boy, that's hard to say. The black world is so black. And, this is another argument that comes up a lot. People say, oh, if we had this kind of technology, we'd know about it by now. It's like, I don't think a lot of people understand just how strict military security is. You know, these Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Northrop Grumman and all these companies, those companies don't leak their research data. That you're going to find yourself in prison if you say a word about any of that stuff. And it'll never get that far because they monitor the communications and the movements of everybody on those programs. I mean, I remember seeing on Billion Dollar Secret with Nick Cook. They were interviewing at Lockheed, and the people involved in those programs live in terror of those programs, and they find them to be morally repugnant. So, yeah, they can keep secrets. You bet.
I was in that show, by the way.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That was a great one.
That was a good project.
It was.
Yeah, the military mind is well known for that. I mean, their attitude is a battle space advantage shared is a battle space advantage lost. A technological advantage shared is a technological advantage lost. As soon as you share it, you've lost it. If you have an advantage and then you put it out in the public and then the Russians and the French and the British have it, then it's lost. You don't have that advantage anymore.
Okay, so we're assuming then, Mike, it raises the possibility here that each military of each major government has their own store of knowledge about UFOs. Probably they're not sharing it. And once again, if they have access to the technology, where is the evidence? Can they keep that a secret for 70 years? Wouldn't they want to exploit that in dealing with potential enemies? I mean, if you could hide your craft from everybody, not just stealth technology, but a cloaking device, wouldn't you be able to fly over North Korea?
The question is, I guess, is how far along are they with that? I mean, it's one thing to say they've reverse engineered technology, but it may not be as direct as that. It could just simply be a case of monkey see, monkey do. We may simply not be able to reverse engineer the technology, but we may, having seen that it's possible to do these things, we may well be pursuing ways of making it happen for ourselves.
I've got a little anecdotal story about this, actually. I was having a meeting with Blaine Kern, because I work in Mardi Gras here in New Orleans, and Blaine Kern is one of the big parade production people here. He shared a paper with me during a meeting one time that had been left for him by his dear friend Gordon Novell. And this was back in the early 2000s. I think it was 2004. And he said that I couldn't make a copy of it, but I could look at it because Gordon forbade him from making any copies. So I was trying to browse this research paper, and that's what it was, kind of technical research briefing. There was a photocopy. And so there's photocopies of photographs as well. And there was a research team that was working on a type of physics that I had never even heard of at that point called stochastic electrodynamics. And they had two devices that were maybe 4 or 5 feet long and egg-shaped. And in one of the photos, there was a cover of their polished looking maybe aluminum, and there was a cover off of one, and you can see all the tubes and wiring and so forth inside. And they had nicknamed them Fat Boy and Little Man after the nuclear bombs. And they claimed that these devices could levitate in midair. Now, that was apparently cutting-edge research around that time that he had shared with his dear friend Blaine Kern. So that might have been a leak. That might have been a legitimate leak from a scientific research program.
Do you folks believe, and we could have volunteers to take you up on it, that what Philip Corso said, as quoted in The Day After Roswell, was true? That he was the bag man feeding alleged alien technology from Roswell into the hands of the military? Or did he make all that up?
I'll chime in. This is Jason. I'll chime in. I absolutely do not. If you actually look at the claims he's made, and actually, you know, I have a technical background, if you follow the claims that he has for the materials and technologies he talks about, there is actually a strong and rich and storied tradition about how these technologies actually came about.
Yeah.
So for him to say, hey, we found them in a junkyard that some alien spaceship crashed, there is no evidence for that whatsoever. You can actually see the line of reasoning, you know, for things like silicon geranium doping to make logic gates, for things like fiber optics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You can actually see the entire progression and evolution of the technology.
I do a whole presentation, I've done it a number of times, called The Masters of Deception, and a big chunk of it is actually showing people that there is, you know, a very plain and in-your-face evidence chain of many of the technologies that he claims were salted into private industry. There's a number of them that began way before Roswell, and others that are historic. I mean, Shockley's work at Bell Labs on the transistor is a good point, a good one to point to, for instance. And I would equate it. You know, you would think that technology on the level that we may be dealing with, regardless of where it's coming from, would be like handing a cell phone to, Cro-Magnon Man or something.
We've got more to come with Gene, Chris, Thomas, Mike, Robert, Jason. People think I can't remember all those names. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. MySolarBackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop.
This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts EASY66 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY66 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. EASY66 to 85850.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
But I'm thinking here, Chris, when we look at that, if they were going to get evidence of alien technology, as you say, transistors, night vision goggles, fiber optics, that seems so elementary and simplistic. Surely ET would have gone way beyond that. How would we even be able to reverse engineer anything, understand anything of a technology even 100 years beyond us?
Or
as you say, if you give an iPhone to a Cro-Magnon, yeah, but if you bring an iPhone into maybe the 18th or 19th century, they'd have an awful time with it.
Yeah, it may be that the technology is so exotic and so, as Arthur C. Clarke would say, magical, we might not even be able to even recognize it as technology.
That's possible, but on the other hand, we're not a 19th or 18th century technology at this point. We've actually made huge progress, and we're doing attosecond imaging, and we can detect subatomic particles. We can detect pretty much any structured form of molecule, and we can run tests on them to see what properties they have. So we might not be able to replicate the final effects intended for the components of an alien technology, but my God, I'm sure we could learn an enormous amount just from on the materials engineering spectrum and the general physical system. We're starting now to custom engineer the quantum wave function of composite matter to create new physical properties that have never existed in nature before, to our knowledge. So, you know, we're making a huge progress, and I think that we'd learn a lot if we had a sample of an alien technology. technology. Maybe not enough to replicate the field propulsion system or the scanning technology or whatever, but it would definitely push us along.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think, Thomas, that we actually recovered an alien craft at Roswell?
Not dear. I really doubt it. You know, there's so many sides to that argument, and it's such a labyrinth of arguments. It's hard to say, you know, if really anything involving extraterrestrials happened there.
Anyone else, anyone believe in the Roswell story as is popularly conceived? I hear silence.
While I chime in, absolutely not. You know, even if it were the case, there's no way to tell now, but for the folks that have actually done the digging, there is so little actual evidence that an alien spacecraft came down or this stuff was recovered. There's evidence that something happened, and that's all we can say.
The only thing that I find really compelling is Jesse Marcel's son describing the materials and the I-beams and the strange writing. You know, that does stick with me, like, maybe there was something there. Yeah, exactly. Memory metals that would have been decades way ahead of our discoveries in science. Yeah.
Well, you see, what happened here is that Batman went back in time. Remember they talked about memory cloth in Batman Begins?
Oh, yeah, that's right. With the apply electrical current to it, it gets rigid.
Ooh.
And the other aspect about exotic technologies and materials, too, is how much do you release, I mean, to the general public, even if you know how that works, whether you reverse engineered it or whether monkey see, monkey do, you've decided there's a proof of concept and you've figured it out. Free energy and anti-grav, if given to the planet Earth now, would absolutely destroy our economies. And I've waxed lyrical on that.
I don't think so.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, look, for every dollar that the oil industry loses in creating energy, the people who have to buy that energy save that money.
It's the people that mine the oil that make the tarmac for the roads, which you no longer need. It's the people that work in the service stations, the transport industry that transports the fuel. It's the guys that cut down trees to make poles and wires. It's the miners who dig up the copper.
Yeah,
to
but
make
for all of those toxic
wires. All of those go.
We're going to gain additional technologies and abilities.
You're going to gain one industry and you're going to lose 1,000. And then that's employment. That's people's jobs.
I don't think you're going to
crash the economy.
Yeah. Every time there's a major advancement in transportation, it's a huge boon to the economy. And it's got all kinds of support industries. We have technological advancements on every frontier, the support services on every end. I mean, I don't think that any major technological advancement has hurt the economy. It seems like it always fuels a period of economic growth. We've seen that.
Someone always loses.
Sure, somebody's going to lose, but other people are going to win a lot. You know, it's going to stimulate the economy in all kinds of unexpected ways. My God, if you could travel from here to China in an hour, people would take that a lot more. More people would travel, so that would increase the spending on that industry. I mean, I don't think that there's anything to fear about advances in technology of that nature, but I think there's a great deal to fear with sticking with what we have because we're destroying our planet. And we're poisoning our ecosystem. We're in the midst of a massive extinction event right now, all precipitated by those industries.
But you have a situation here in some parts of the world, like one certain country, where that's not believed. And if the people in authority don't believe it, they're not going to do anything about it.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a matter of belief is greed. There's a lot of vested interests with a lot of money that like it just the way that it is, and they're investing in political donations all the time to make sure that things don't change. You know, I think there's a very, very high chance that the defense research industry has created alternative energy sources that we will not see the light of day because it's not profitable to the oil industry that controls our government.
And so maybe we do have warp drive.
It's possible. I don't think that it's that likely because when you look at the math, the energy requirements and the control systems you'd need are like several generations ahead of what we have now. But they may have found loopholes. You know, it's impossible to say. There was the most well-funded scientific research program in all of human history. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year on our military, and a huge chunk of that goes into black projects. And they have also got funding sources that are not through the tax system, not through the government. They've got their own funding systems with all kinds of covert manners of gaining money. So it's impossible to gauge what they might have achieved with hundreds of billions of dollars a year in research.
One thing that kind of bothers me again, if we have access to all this technology and you consider the advantages we have over every other country. If we're assuming this is a U.S.-based ability, unless it's being shared by a number of countries, that when we have people like in North Korea firing nuclear weapons, they'd all disappear. All that would disappear overnight if we have all that power. We have all that power to control things, to fly cloaked devices, to have weaponry beyond anything we can understand. Why aren't we using it?
Gene, your greatest strategic advantage to having those technologies is using them covertly so that nobody knows that you have them. If you do some big public display of that technology, you've lost that strategic advantage, which could be a civilization-ending mistake for you.
What do you convey privately?
Whatever makes money, right? I mean, these industries are—they're going to create products, they're going to sell patents that doesn't compromise national security. They're going to get that stuff out in industry and make money with it, right?
Right, but what does the military do quietly to convey the message to some kind of rogue nation that we have some technology here that's going to really mess with you and there's nothing you can do to stop us if you get out of line? Or is all this posturing just posturing?
It is. We already have the ability, the push of a button to make North Korea go away. We could do
that
now. Yeah, and we could do that now, but we're not. And so you've got to look at the reasons as why we're not doing that. It's not a matter of whether we have exotic technology or not. We have a big red button that will make North Korea go away in one big flash of light. We could do that now.
And keep the infrastructure intact as well.
Right, the neutron
bomb. Just kill all the people.
Yep.
You could do that. But again, the political ramifications. Do you end up sparking a global conflagration, the likes of which will make World War II look like, the Civil War? I mean, we have the ability to make North Korea go away. But
talking about nuclear war. I'm thinking of we have advanced alien technologies. We have phaser weapons. We have photon beams, whatever, that we can do things that they can't fight and do these things quietly in ways that we wouldn't be discovered. We wouldn't be blamed for the deed.
It's too big of a risk. It's too big of a risk, right? I mean, how many times do our covert helicopter missions go down in the desert? I mean,
because the technology's not advanced enough. That's it. One more segment left. Thomas, Robert, Mike, Jason, Gene, and Chris, you're in
the Paracast, mates.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNWellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNWellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNWellness.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The great debate, ETH, extraterrestrial hypothesis. What about the ramifications of possible knowledge of alien technology? And I'm going to ask one other question which follows if we've had access to this technology for Mike Jones, Thomas Morris, and Robert Branstetter, and Jason. Anyone want to take this secret space program? If we have all this money, if we have all this technology, other than spy satellites, are we using it to explore outer space? Why did we basically give up virtually, except for much lesser programs, after we reached the moon? Thomas.
Well, I do remember that there, in the UK, there was an amateur hacker who got access to some military database information about fleet transfers in a space program, right? Isn't that kind of the probably the inception?
Well, it was a list of off-planet officers, mm-hmm. And that was Gary McKinnon. Ron Regier, who's been on the show, is occasionally active in the forums. He worked for Aerojet and Douglas Aircraft for almost 40 years. He's brought up a very good point, which I've related, I think, before, but I'll just give it a thumbnail version of it. There are certain materials that you need to pull a certain craft off in terms of design and manufacturing. And there's only a limited amount of those materials to go around. And when somebody makes a big order, everybody knows about it. They may not know exactly what it's being used for, but everybody knows about it because we're all fighting for the same limited amount of resources. And he said that if there the amount of materials, highly exotic and in many cases classified materials that you would need to even pull off one or two of these craft, everybody would know about it. And, you know, he had a pretty high security clearance himself. And he said there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that he knows of to suggest that there's anything coming close to a secret space program. For what it's worth,
Well, that's a pretty good argument. Yeah, it is pretty persuasive, somebody on the inside, so to speak. But on the other hand, you know, when you look at the documents from our security people, and it just seems like they are some very, very smart people. If they had a plan to create something like a secret space program, and I'm not saying that they did, but it is really suspicious that we don't seem to have spaceflight capability right now, at least in the public. There seems to me that we must have something capable of going in and out of the atmosphere. Then you would start, you'd create the infrastructure from the ground up. You'd create a covert infrastructure. You'd have parent companies with the sub companies. You'd be able to, I think, get what you needed covertly, one way or the other. Even if you had to have your own mining operations and classify the entire project from the ore level all the way to the application level, I think it could be done. With the kind of money that the U.S. military spends and the way that they hide it and the fact that there's no oversight, congressional oversight for any of these special access programs, they could do pretty much anything they wanted.
I think that it's highly likely that we have a secret space program, and that's just coming back to basic human tribal instincts. You know, every single tribe thinks it's better than all the other tribes on the planet. And the idea that you would have an opportunity to get your group of people, your particular tribe off planet and away from the mess that's this planet and leave all the mess behind, I can't see humans sharing.
And just the simple, the high ground always wins argument. You know, space is the ultimate high ground. We're not going to let the Chinese, who are now actively pursuing space programs, have total domination of space. The satellites that we have up there that we depend on for our intelligence, we've got to protect those. So we have to have some kind of measures against those.
And you've only got to build the bootstrap. I mean, in terms of resources from the planet Earth, which is, again, we're coming back to this, looking at it from our own blinkered world view, you've only got to build the bootstraps, and then you can get your resources from the moon or from the asteroid fields or from Mars.
I think you have to be careful there. I mean, there is a secret space program. We know there are secret space flights, and there's the military trainer little shuttle that they have, and there's all kinds of those kind of stuff. But those are all normal human technologies. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about some giant advanced spacefaring civilization we've created, or bases on the moon, or bases on the Mars, guess what? There's no evidence of that.
That's right.
We have probes there. We've got orbiters. We've got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. There's nothing there. So where is it?
What I'd like to point out is that this line of questioning and this kind of, you know, is the speculative growth that comes out of the ETH, and now suddenly we're talking about off-planet soldiers.
Exactly.
And I think this is where the ETH takes us to, is to actually move away from the relevant discussion of what's actually taking place here on Earth with actual human beings that are seeing things, and then suddenly we start talking about things that there's no evidence for. And I would include, you know, Roswell and the notion of alien landings, or the fact that we don't really see any changes in public policy from the American government in terms of how to protect our skies, that there's no evidence of these pieces that are actually in place. Given that, then the rest of the speculation that follows really is entirely science fiction as a discussion, and it moves us away even further from the actual things that people see. And I guess that's the problem that I've got with the ETH piece, is that that's where it ends up taking us. It takes us to silly places where we start mythologizing and we start talking about alien cults and suicide cults and religions, and all these other things flow out of that chain of thinking that really, I think, is part of the misdirection and the obfuscation of what's actually taking place, which is probably something far more mysterious and engaging that is concerned with us, with human beings and our perceptual capacities. And I don't understand why we would not want to seek more time into thinking about that and pursuing those ways, even though it's more complex and more difficult to think about, and it's not parsimonious. But the fact is, 70 years of ETH hasn't brought us anything, and it keeps moving us further and further till we've got soldiers off planet now. So,
That's two points that I need to bring up.
ETH has not been tested as a hypothesis, to be fair.
Okay, look, that's true. But look, you don't need the ETH to end up with the secret space program.
Exactly.
All you need is the secrecy of the military and the fact that we know that they routinely hide all of their most sophisticated advancements. And I don't think Gary McKinnon connected the extraterrestrials to the secret space program either. I mean, just the advancement of technology and the money that we're putting into it, it creates suspicions. So I don't think that it's right to impugn the ETH with the secret space program mythology.
Please tell that to David Wilcock. please.
Well, David, I don't want to do any talking to David Wilcock, because a lot of people out there are talking complete nonsense. And I think that it's wrong to hold the ETH accountable for what a bunch of crazy opportunists want to do with it.
I agree. This is the Hall of Mirrors kind of effect, where you have to be really simple and really precise and apply critical thinking to everything you're saying. I think we need to take a far more simple and clear view of what we can test and what we can verify. You know, Chris's kind of citizen science is absolutely the way to go.
In one aspect, I'm actually doing it being somebody who's very doubtful of what we can actually learn from it, because I've always fallen on more of the psychological, collective unconscious, you know, modern myths of elves and fairies side of the equation, just naturally, because of my own experiences and because of the inscrutability of the whole thing. I'm only coming up with this whole idea of the hard data monitoring thing to see if it even can work. You know, it's more of a challenge than anything else.
But it's definitely the right idea. It's the first thing that you do when you're confronted with a mystery is you try to collect scientific data on it.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way first. Yeah,
exactly. And this idea that the ETH hasn't solved the enigma in 70 years is absolutely empty, because we haven't made any kind of scientific effort in 70 years.
Exactly.
So we haven't tested it.
This has been a really fascinating discussion, but only the first.
I think it should continue. If everybody can hang around, we'll do after the Paracast, if people can do it.
This is a special announcement. We've run out of time with the main episode of the Paracast, but there's a lot more to go. And we have a second radio show called After the Paracast, available only to subscribers of Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, and we'll continue with Robert Brandstetter and Thomas Morrison and Mike Jones and Jason with Gene and Chris. It'll be the kind of show that the language is not censored. You can find us, by the way, on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can check out Chris's site, OurStrangePlanet.com. And you can find two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. And you can choose the group or the community. And I don't know what the differences are, but I'll leave it be. We have the Paracast Plus for prices starting at just $1.49 a week. Our price cheap, like they used to say with Mad Magazine, less than the cost of a cup of coffee, except at Circle K now, where the price has gone down to $1.20 for a cup of coffee. $1.49 a week. We have lifetime subscriptions, 5-year, 1-year, whatever. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Thank you, Thomas Morrison.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Mike Jones.
Thanks, Gene. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, and thank everybody else.
Thank you, Robert Brandstetter.
Thanks, Gene and Chris, for this really interesting discussion.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.